You can't hide your lying eyes. And your smile is a thin disguise. I thought by now you'd realize there ain't no way to hide your lying eyes.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Michael Cohen, a fellow at the Century Foundation and a columnist at Foreign Policy, where he writes a regular feature on politics and national security. He is the author of Live from the Campaign Trail, The Greatest Presidential Campaign Speeches of the 20th Century and How They Shaped Modern America. Previously, he served in the United States Department of State as chief speechwriter for the U.S. representative to the United Nations, and from 2006 through 2009 was a senior research fellow at the New America Foundation. He has an article at the UK Guardian, Mendacious Mitt, Romney's Bid to Become Liar-in-Chief. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Cohen.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And I've always been troubled from the very beginning of the Romney campaign about the alacrity with which he lies. And he started out, actually, his first campaign commercial in the Iowa primary was a lie. And it was worse than a lie because it was a deliberately manipulated misinformation where he literally put John McCain's words in Obama's mouth. Obama, from the 2008 campaign, was quoting something that McCain had said that was detrimental, and it made it seem like this was Obama's statement. But when confronted with it, he basically sloughed it off.
Yeah, you know, it's funny in a way. I mean, I hate to get to sort of become pop psychologist here, but you could argue in a way that a lot of Romney's campaign for president has been based on, a lie is too strong, but certainly a deception. You know, especially this campaign cycle. This is a guy who, when he was governor of Massachusetts, was a fairly moderate Republican who resisted, actually, when he ran for Senate in 1994, resisted being seen too closely with the more conservative Republican House members running for office that year. I mean, so he's somebody who has been a moderate most of his career, who has now sort of become this sort of ultra conservative, who sort of makes himself out to be this leader of the conservative movement, even though he really hasn't been until this cycle. So I think in a lot of ways, my article sort of focused on the individual lies that Romney tells on the campaign trail. But if you think about it, I mean, his whole campaign is sort of based on an untruth of who he really is as a politician and certainly his political philosophy.
But Michael Cohen, that untruth that you just outlined could, in fact, work both ways. It could also equally be possible that he is a very conservative. He is actually completely in sync with the way that the Republican Party is today, having moved far to the right with the Tea Party. And when he was in Massachusetts, he was just being a moderate because that was necessary, politically necessary.
Well, then either way, it's a lie, right? it's either that he's lying about being conservative or he was lying then about being a moderate. I mean, either way, it's pretty hard to figure out who the real Mitt Romney is. And I think that's part of, I think it's actually part of his political problem to some extent, is that he can be caricatured as somebody who doesn't really have any core values because he has so often switched his political positions, but depending on what's most politically salient. And of course, politicians do this all the time. I mean, this is not a new thing. Politicians do sort of tend to sway with the political winds, but I've rarely seen a politician do it as brazenly as Romney has. And I think it's a rather interesting development that he is somebody who has sort of become, he's somebody who you really can't define properly because you just don't know where his core beliefs lie. Because literally, there are, if you base it on his experience in Massachusetts or you base it on his current campaign, there's two very different Mitt Romneys that have run for office.
So I spoke fairly recently with a former Wall Street banker who is now a financial columnist and an author. And he said that when he was working for a big investment banker on Wall Street, he personally and his colleagues personally dealt with Bain Capital in the days of Mitt Romney. And that even though one would find it hard to believe that there are kind of ethical standards on Wall Street, this reporter said to me that he basically, when he was working for this investment bank, that he and others just got sick of dealing with Bain because they would negotiate the deal. And then when you finally shook hands on the deal, after the deal was set, then they'd start chiseling and whittling it down. And that apparently is, even on Wall Street, is considered bad form. So I'm just wondering if there is a character trait here of somebody that has a belief system that he believes he can get away with this kind of stuff.
Well, you know, and I can't speak to the Bain issue, but I mean, as far as the getting away with it part, it certainly seems that way, doesn't it? You know, one thing that made me write this piece was sort of my own amazement at how frequently Romney says one thing that says things that A, aren't true, which is you know, not unheard of in politics, but rarely at the level that he does it. But those things that are totally contradictory to what he's done in the past. I mean, his position on Obamacare, I think, is maybe the best example of this. As somebody who put in place a healthcare system in Massachusetts that featured an individual mandate and now rails against it at every opportunity that he gets, it's unusual. It's as if he doesn't know Google exists. Sometimes, you know, that people can just sort of look at what he's said in the past, what he's saying today, and realize there's a huge disparity. But it's interesting that he does this and seems to feel, and the campaign seems to feel, they can get away with it. You know, they can repeat, for example, over and over again, that Obama apologized for America, a charge that has been looked at repeatedly and been debunked by fact-checkers, by journalists, what have you. It simply isn't true, and yet Romney continues to go on the trail and say it. You know, without any fear whatsoever of larger political repercussions for repeating something that everyone knows is not true. I don't know how you define that. I'm not a psychologist, but there's something rather bizarre, I guess, brazen, I should say, about a politician willing to tell something like that clearly isn't true and it's been debunked and yet keep saying it.
Now, the individual mandate, which is the center of the Republican attack on so-called Obamacare, and the Supreme Court may well join in this attack any day now. The recent ruling that came down last week, basically defunding public employees unions in terms of their ability to participate in political campaigns, strikes many as an overtly political move on the part of Justice Alito. The issue wasn't even brought up or briefed in the case, and they just simply went ahead and wrote it up and caught the four so-called liberal justices by surprise. So I think you can hold your breath on that one. But what I find extraordinary about it is that when you say that they get away with it, don't they get away with it in part because nobody on the other side actually frames these arguments accurately? For example, the individual mandate only affects 7% of people in terms of the Affordable Care Act. Why can't the White House make that point? Why have they let them get away for so long with making such a big deal out of the individual mandate?
Well, because there is, you know, first of all, there has been a ton of ads basically criticizing the mandate from Republicans and other groups. But also, you know, it's kind of a hard issue to defend to some extent. It sounds very bad, right? Here's government forcing you to buy health care. There's plenty of defensible explanations for why a system like that would exist. But, you know, the White House has one microphone. It's a big microphone, but it's not that big of a microphone. Republicans have a big microphone also, and they speak with one voice. And so you basically have every single Republican and conservative media outlet that is basically going out there and attacking the mandate. And that becomes the narrative, right? The narrative becomes, here's conservatives standing up for constitutional principles, you know, railing against the mandate. And Democrats, you know, have shown an ability to speak, I think, with one voice on this. So I don't really blame the White House. I mean, I don't even blame Democrats. You simply have a situation where conservatives have been extremely effective at permeating this notion that somehow the mandate is unconstitutional and somehow it goes against, you know, historical precedent, when in fact it's quite in line with legal precedent. And it's sort of a crazy thing that 2 years ago nobody would have said, not even 2 years ago, the day before oral arguments in the Supreme Court, I think few scholars would have legal scholars would have suggested the court would overturn the health care law. And now I think, you know, if you ask most of them, the majority think it will be overturned. I don't agree. I think it probably will be upheld. But it's sort of insane how quickly the debate has switched and how something that, you know, at one time would have seemed kind of crazy to most legal scholars is now considered a legitimate part of the political debate.
So Michael Carnegie, fellow at the Century Foundation, a columnist at Foreign Policy, and the author of Live from the Campaign Trail, The Greatest Presidential Campaign Speeches of the 20th Century and How They Shaped Modern America. And he's also the author of an article at The Guardian in the UK, Mendacious Mitt Romney's Bid to Become Liar-in-Chief. So if it's not a case of the Democrats not being sufficiently aggressive or clear about framing their messages, then what about the role of the press? For example, as you write in your article in The Guardian, when Joe Biden was accused of plagiarizing British Prime Minister Neil Connick's speeches in 1988, that completely derailed his presidential aspirations. So one lie from Biden and he's toast, and a blizzard of lies continue to come from the mouth of Mitt Romney. So explain.
Well, I think, you know, I don't have a good explanation. I can try to speculate. I think on the case of Romney as to why this happens, I think, first of all, you know, the media sort of has this cult of objectivity, you know, and it's considered inappropriate to accuse a politician of openly lying, right? And so, for example, and I think the other notion is that this is sort of everyone does it, right? So it's not that unprecedented, you know, when politicians lie. In fact, you had a piece in the New York Times a few days ago which basically kind of accused both sides of doing it, you know, said, point out some things that Obama had exaggerated and point out things that Romney had exaggerated. But the difference being that, you know, politicians exaggerate all the time. I mean, that is the nature of the business. I mean, I used to be a speechwriter. I certainly, sometimes you stretch the truth a little bit because to get the soundbite that you want. That's different from, you know, brazenly lying about something that you know is not true, that has been debunked, and still saying it. I think for journalists, it's hard to kind of make that reach from saying, you know, from sort of saying, well, this is one argument, you know, the argument from Romney is Obama apologizes, but Democrats claim this is not true. It's harder to go from that to saying Romney says Obama apologizes, this is not true, this is a lie. So I think it's hard for objective journalists to do that. I also think there's something too where Romney lies so many times on so many different issues. So I think it's hard for journalists to keep up. They'll debunk one or two things here, but, you know, he'll get away with 10 more things that are not true. And if you look on the healthcare thing in particular, I mean, there are just a cavalcade of lies that have been told about this. I mean, Romney goes out all the time and says, the Obamacare will lead to government-run healthcare. This simply is not true. And he says it all the time, and it's become sort of the main talking point for Republicans, and it's rarely, if ever, debunked. So in a way, I think Republicans have found a loophole, right? They figured out a way to say things that aren't true and to sort of rely on a compliant press corps to sort of help them get their lies out into the news coverage. Because what ends up happening is that you have a sort of he said, she said debate where, you know, Republicans say one thing, Democrats say another, and, you know, the press kind of gives oxygen to both sides, with rarely acknowledging the fact that, in fact, one side is being playing fast and loose with the truth.
Well, one of the biggest lies, of course, out there, and it's pervasive in the Republican Party, between 30% and 50% of Republicans believe the lie that Obama has a phony birth certificate and he was born in Kenya and that he has Mau Mau tendencies and he's anti-American and all of that sort of quasi-racist stuff that's rolled up in that canard. What I find disturbing about Romney, as opposed to the previous Republican candidate, John McCain, when confronted with that kind of ignorant bigotry on the campaign stump, McCain corrected the woman who said that Obama was a Muslim and said, no, he's a decent man and he's a Christian and he's a family man, etc. Romney has never done that, and I find that really disgraceful.
Well, he's in a tough spot politically, right? Because, you know, you have I saw a poll from Dartmouth came out a couple days ago that showed that 55% of Republicans have always believed, these are the words from the poll, have always believed that Obama was not born in the United States. 55%. That's a shockingly high number. So, you know, for Romney, he has to sort of, you know, keep those Republican voters in his column. And so to come out and do what McCain did would in a sense upset voters who he is relying upon. And one thing I noticed about Romney is that he's never shown any willingness to confront the far right of his own party. And I think that's smart politically for him. Now, it's bad for the country, I would say, to some extent, but it's smart politically. You don't want to upset the base of voters that you need. And I think you're unlikely to see Romney do the same kind of thing McCain did, because I think he will view it as politically not a winning move for him. I mean, he won't embrace the argument. He's not going to go out and say Obama wasn't born in the U.S. But I imagine he'll sort of be coy about being critical of that notion.
Well, in terms of his campaign tactics, though, by continuing to repeat lies on all of the issues on foreign policy, that Obama is a habitual apologist, that he Romney took credit for the successful auto bailout of Detroit, even though he wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post well before that saying, let Detroit go bankrupt. Is it, as you say in your article, a tactic where a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth gets its boots on?
Absolutely. I mean, this is exactly what I think has happened. I mean, you look again at the healthcare debate, there is so much misinformation about the healthcare law that, you know, most Americans first of all want to repeal it, not understanding what's actually in the law. And if you quiz them on individual provisions, they're in support of it. You know, Republicans had one message on the healthcare law: this is a government-run healthcare. It'll destroy the healthcare system. It'll blow up the deficit. It'll mean worse care for Americans. That was their message, and it was repeated by every Republican and every conservative media outlet over and over and over again. And, you know, Democrats, you know, did not have one message. In fact, they were arguing often among themselves on various elements of the health care bill. And the result is that Republican narrative, which was so dominant and was pushed by conservative media sources, ended up becoming the dominant narrative. So most Americans think it will lead to government-run health care. You know, many Americans think the individual mandate will force them to buy health insurance, you know, and in fact, it's a very weak mandate. It's actually just a fine. In fact, in many ways, people could avoid paying the fine, and they would end up, not going to prison or surely not facing any terrible price for doing so. You know, this notion of the death panels was out there for weeks and months, put forward by Republicans, completely untrue, but it was repeated by people like Sarah Palin and others, and became part of the media narrative. So I just think, you know, there is, when you're opposed to everything, and when you're, it's very easy, and when you have no interest in really governing, it's very easy to put out a message that is fundamentally not true. I mean, it's actually, that's what Republicans have shown their ability to do in the last couple of years, especially on the health care bill.
Well, just in closing, Michael Cohen, first of all, I think that my understanding of the bill, the Affordable Care Act, is that there really aren't any penalties. The only real penalty is withholding your tax rebate. But there are no liens, there are no fines, etc. So it is a toothless mandate. But just in closing, there's a blogger called Steve Bannon who compiles a weekly list of Bits mendacity. Is that something that can be built on? I mean, it seems to me that citizens and activists have to do their own messaging. I don't think we can count on the Democrats. They seem to be very, very slow out of the gate here.
Well, here's the one thing I'll say, sort of ending on a positive note, I guess. I mean, look, I wrote this piece because I personally just find it frustrating when any politician, whether Democrat or Republican, can lie like this and get away with it. I mean, it's troubling for our political discourse to have this kind of situation going on. But, you know, there's a price to be paid for this. And I think one of the reasons why Romney's, you know, unfavorability ratings remain relatively high is because I think people view him as sort of a bit of a prevaricator. I mean, I think this stuff does have an effect. It also creates fodder for campaign ads. It becomes fodder for political debates. I think, you know, I'm an optimist at heart, and I hope that, you know, that somehow the political price will be paid for somebody who doesn't tell the truth, and so actively doesn't tell the truth, and tries to mislead people. And so we'll see how this plays out. Maybe my optimism won't be realized, but I feel like, you know, this creates a paper trail of lies that Romney has created here. I think eventually, you know, he'll pay a political price for this. And I think ultimately, when voters have a chance to look at this more closely, and look, they're not looking at it closely in June, they'll look at it more closely in August and September and October. I think they look at it more closely, I think it will have a political impact on Romney, and a negative political impact. I think it'll be, you know, lubricated in great measure by campaign ads from the Obama campaign. You know, that's part of the political debate, too. So I think, you know, in the end, I think you know, hopefully the truth wins out, and a politician who actively doesn't tell the truth will eventually, you know, pay some kind of price for that. But, you know, that's me. I'm just an optimist at heart.
Right. Well, unfortunately, the Pinocchio effect doesn't, it's only in a cartoon. It doesn't actually, his nose actually doesn't grow longer.
Right.
If it did, it would all be very clear.
I thank you
for joining us, Michael.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Michael Cohen, a fellow at the Century Foundation, a columnist at Foreign Policy, where he writes a regular feature on politics and national security. He's the author of Live from the Campaign Trail, the greatest presidential campaign speeches of the 20th century and how they shaped modern America. Previously served in the United States Department of State as chief speechwriter for the U.S. representative to the United Nations, and from 2006 through 2009 was a senior research fellow at the New America Foundation. He has an article in the UK Guardian, Mendacious Mitt, Romney's Bid to Become Liar-in-Chief. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking with Juan Cole about the Egyptian elections, where the Muslim Brotherhood candidate who won the election has actually been allowed to win it.
Most of the time.